Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. Thank you for being here, and we trust that we'll have a blessed time together as we study God's Word and lift our voices in song. And also greetings to those who are joining us online. Thank you for joining us in this way, and we trust you're blessed as well. Let's take our Bibles for a scripture this morning. To the book of Revelation, as we continue here in the series, The Revelation of God. So we'll turn to chapter 5 for our scripture reading this morning. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to read the first five verses, and let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Let's read together in unison. Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are in control. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you with the challenges of this day in which we live. Lord, we pray for our nation in these critical days, days of unrest, days where we can certainly see the struggle and the battle between good and evil, between truth and error. Lord, we pray that truth would triumph in our nation, that you would be merciful to us, Lord. We pray that you would give wisdom to those in leadership, from the president and the vice president, that you would guide them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for others throughout the Congress. Lord, on local levels, our police officers and chiefs of police, Lord, that you'd give them wisdom through the challenges of these times. Lord, we pray for the Supreme Court and the vacancy there. We pray that you would be merciful in giving to us a God-fearing, sober-minded constitutional judge. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray your blessing on this service. We pray that you would stir our hearts with your love, with your purpose. Guide us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in our series, The Revelation of God, the Apostle John, as an old man, was banished for his testimony of Jesus to the island of Patmos. While he was on the island, the Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Heard behind him a great voice, and when he turned, he saw the Lord Jesus. An awesome, awesome sight that he accounts in chapter 1. The Lord revealed the letters to the churches, seven letters to seven literal churches, but with application throughout the church age. After the church things, John sees an open door in heaven, chapter 4, verse 1. And he sees this open door in heaven, and he is called up hither. And he sees things that must be hereafter. I believe John's being caught up here is a picture of the rapture of the church. Allegorically speaking, we, just like John, will be caught up. John's personal experience here is a testimony to the rapture of the church. For we see, as we noted last week, we see the believers assembled around the throne with the 24 elders there representing the believers from all ages, Old and New Testament. And
They had crowns of gold on their head. We can see the judgment seat of Christ having been taken place.
We come to the timeline here, and we can see that through the seven letters to the seven churches really pictures the package of the church age, as seven is going to be a common number we're going to find here in Revelation. Speaks of completion or perfection. And so the full package of the church age, once that's ended, the here and after, the rapture takes place and the believers go up to be with the Lord, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. While we are up there, great turmoil known as Daniel's 70th week, or 7 years of time, also known as the tribulation. The Bible makes it clear that this is a week of years. This 7 years period of time, literal, I believe, on planet Earth, once the believers are raptured, this time of tribulation will ensue here. All right? So we're going to look at some of these things here this morning. Notice, first of all, because last week I hadn't touched on it, and I just wanted to plug this scripture in. So Revelation chapter 3, I'd like to plug that in here, verse 10. Revelation 3, verse 10. This is the letter to the church at Philadelphia, and the Lord promises them, and certainly by application the whole church, he says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world." Notice this global time of temptation, which is for what purpose? God says, "To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly." So he says, "I will keep thee from." And he says, "I will come quickly. Hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Don't miss out. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep serving and following the Lord. Be faithful. And he says, "I'm coming soon." He says, "I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth." So that global time of temptation, I believe, without a doubt, refers to these 7 years of tribulation. And so I believe the rapture will take place prior. And thus, John being raptured up into heaven in chapter 4 is a picture of that rapture. Now we come to chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come with your word open, we need your help to understand it, to apply it to our life. Illuminate our hearts, our minds. Stir our hearts, Lord. Help us to see your righteous plan and purposes. Help us to understand where we fit and how things work. Help us to realize the importance of the day in which we live. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. We have today the title, "A Mysterious Book with an Ominous Message." A mysterious book with an ominous message. We have here this book. It is found in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Notice verse 1. In the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that's God the Father, a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Again, this book is not a bound book like we have in our day, but more of a scroll. And where the scroll was rolled up and sealed with wax, rolled more, sealed again, rolled more, sealed again. And so these seven seals closed this book. So once you broke one seal, you could just read so far, and there would be another seal holding it from being opened. All right? Now, this book sealed with seven seals, verse 2 says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice." I mean, here is strength and authority from this angelic being who says, "Who is worthy to open the book?" This is what John sees happening in heaven. Now, I want to remind you, John, being caught in the Spirit, caught up in the Spirit, is seeing future things. He sees them unfolding sort of like, you know, action right before him, okay? But they're future things. And so they're things that have not yet happened. And I believe, as God's people, going up in the rapture, I believe we will see these things that are recorded here. We will see this happening. We will be in heaven, and we will hear this mighty strong angel say, "Who is worthy to open the book that sits that is in the right hand of the one who sits on the throne?" So here is God the Father holding this scroll, this very important and mysterious document in his right hand that speaks also of strength. Who is worthy to open the book? And it says in verse 3, "No man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." No one was able to read it. No one had the right. No one had the authority to take that book or to break its seals. No one. They looked all over. And John says, "I began to cry. I cried a lot." He says, "I wept much." It was a precious book. It was an important book. God the Father held it there. And no one was found worthy to open it. And so he's crying, "No one worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me," this is a believer, this is a saved child of God. There were 24, it says, around the throne. And so one of them says to John, he says, "Don't weep, weep not. Behold, look, see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof," the seven seals thereof. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts," these are the four living creatures that cry, "Holy, holy, holy," as it was mentioned in chapter 4, around the throne worshiping God. "And so I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne room of God, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book." Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, the Root of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 7, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors," full of this perfume, these scents, incense. And God says this incense are the prayers of saints. An awesome sight here. The Lamb is found worthy. I'll tell you what, just to be very frank, there is no one worthy, because we're going to find this book is an ominous book. This book is going to detail the righteous judgment of Almighty God against wicked man. And there is no one worthy to bring judgment upon man but the Almighty God. And Jesus Christ particularly. He is the one who gave his life for every man. He is the one who took the judgment if they would only trust him. He is the one who laid down his life, having left heaven's glory, to become one of us, to die in our place. Jesus, he's the only one found worthy to detail the righteous judgment of God. We see here heaven worshiping the Lamb. This is fitting. This will be a wonderful joy of heaven, worshiping God, honoring God. And here, as we see this scene, we see prayer is remembered here before God, pictured with the imagery of these odors in a container. God is remembering the prayers of the saints. Remember, God calls not just a few select people saints. He calls all the believers saints. And He calls us to live like saints. Because once we trust Jesus, as a sinner we were, we're washed in the blood and made clean. It's a wonderful thing. A saint is not something that the church, quote unquote, saints. A saint is someone who's trusted Jesus and made pure in the blood of the Lamb. And so the saints, the prayers of saints, I wonder what some of those prayers were. Prayers of Lord, when? Lord, when will you judge the wicked? Oh Lord, when will you make all the wrongs right? Lord, when? Lord, when? And a whole lot of others. Well, here God says, I'm keeping your prayers. I'm keeping your prayers. I am a just God, and I will make the wrongs right. I will hold the wicked accountable. And so, here's Jesus taking the book. We see a new song.